This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything Flamethrower. WWE, as another year has ended. Welcome to episode 66 of Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host, Scott Criscolo. I did it again. Three times now in a row. I said we'll be back in 2 weeks, and then something else came up. but we are here. It is the end of the year. We should knock on everything, knock on my skull, be back on regular schedule as we get into 2017. But tonight, we conclude 2016, the year in WWE. Now, we're not going to get into all of pro wrestling. You can check out the guys at Clotheslines and Headlines next Wednesday, or next Thursday, on PlaceToBeNation.com. They'll go over the... They'll talk a little WWE, but of course they'll talk about the end of the year in Ring of Honor, TNA, Evolve, and all the other promotions around the world, New Japan, etc. But tonight, we are simply talking the big flamethrower that is World Wrestling Entertainment and all of their pluses and minuses throughout these last 365 days. But I, of course, will not do it alone. I have two exceptional gentlemen with me this evening. First off, you know him very well. He is the, I was going to say the voice, but it's written. He is the pen of Raw. You can check his Raw recaps every Monday, and he is a Main Event veteran, and he has been on Clotheslines and Headlines, I believe, a couple of times, Mr. Brian Bayless. Brian, welcome.
Thank you for having me back.
Have you been on Clotheslines and Headlines? You have, right?
I have before, yes.
Okay. And anyway, Brian is awesome. Again, check his stuff out every Monday night / Tuesday morning here at PlaceToBeNation.com as he gives you his Raw recap. Also joining me is a man that needs no introduction. He is a veteran of everything. He would not come on. The reason we did not do a roadblock end of the line is because he preferred to do the recap for Roadhead end of the shaft, but we didn't have it on DVD. Mr. J. Arsenio Diamato.
Oh, that's me. You said you had two exceptional gentlemen. I'll wait for the second one. It's going to be tough to live up to that. But,
Roadhead into the shaft with starring China. Ah, too soon. Tough year, of course. And we're gonna see. Obviously, we had another. God, we can barely get over the like 400th pop culture death in 2016. That, of course, being beloved Carrie Fisher. But now, just moments ago, her mom died. Debbie Reynolds died at the age of 84 of a stroke planning her daughter's wedding. This year sucked in so many ways. I mean, we obviously lost at least three wrestlers off the top of my head. Blackjack Mulligan, China, and Balls Mahoney. Is there anybody else?
Axel Rotten died.
Axel Rotten. Too. That's right. Axel Rotten. That's four.
Iron Mike Sharp, I think, this year.
Did he die? Motherfucker,
he
man.
He passed away. It was the Sierra Alaska, I forget, but he did pass away.
He did pass away, Canada's greatest athlete. God damn it. And D'Amato is Long Island's worst athlete. Oh, wait, what? No. But anyway, yeah, there were a lot of wrestling deaths this year, and of course a lot of pop culture deaths. As a matter of fact, you'll have a special surprise that Mr. D'Amato, Mr. Greenhouse, and myself will be doing Monday morning when you check out the PTBN pop feed when we talk about... deaths of 2016. There'll be a little nugget in the PTBM pop feed on Monday morning, so check that out. I want to tell you what it is. But gentlemen, let's talk about World Wrestling Entertainment. Let's go back a year. All right, the end of 2015. Your world champion, we had one belt, of course. Your world champion was Sheamus. In fact, D'Amato, you and I were at the TD Garden in Boston for TLC a year ago. When we watched Sheamus defeat Roman Reigns in a TLC match, title match. And, of course, Reigns would end up beating him in January to win the world title. Let's see. New Day, I think, was still tag team champions. Kevin Owens and Dean Ambrose were feuding over the IC title. In fact, Ambrose won a ladder match. It was actually a tremendous match in Boston at TLC. So the world was a little different in the WWE at the end of 2015. Fast forward a year. I'll start with you, Mr. D'Amato. Just on the surface, and then we'll break it down. Is WWE better or worse than a year ago?
Oh, I'd say it's definitely better. I think the brand split has been a success. You know, it's taken a lot of criticism.
Mm-hmm.
A few shaky moments, and we might be hitting the oversaturation with the when the pay-per-views start hitting hard, like every 2 weeks. There's a couple that we could have done without, especially this last one. Road Block was definitely missable. I could just picture it before the network trying to get somebody to fork over $60 or whatever the pay-per-view price was for Roadblock a week before Christmas. It definitely wouldn't have happened. So that's another thing that the network kind of came in handy. It's like, hey, you know, it didn't cost you much if you already got the network just to pop it on, but otherwise it was definitely missable. So there's a few things like that they got to clean up, and I think they are going to cut back on the pay-per-views in general. But I would say overall the brand splits has been a definite success, especially with the way SmackDown's just been hitting it out the park every week. You know, we'll get into more of that.
Yeah, I think overall it has been better. It's better. I think the talent is better. There's plenty more, and obviously, very shortly into 2016, the talent quotient goes up exponentially with a huge debut right out of the gate. Brian, in general, better or worse than a year ago?
Oh, I agree. I think it's better as well. You know, pretty good influx of talent in 2016. You had AJ Styles. You had they called Sasha Banks and Charlotte, Becky Lynch from NXT, and Sami Zayn's up here full time. And I've gotten some people over too this year. I know the end of 2015 it was pretty stagnant. You had guys, you had the League of Nations going on. It was a waste of time. And I mean, Reigns versus Sheamus is a pretty crappy feud too. But I think the talent's much better right now than it was in 2015.
Yeah, I definitely think that overall the main roster definitely is more there's a lot more variety and there's a lot more flexibility now than there was a year ago. The roster split, the brand split does not hurt in that aspect. Obviously, the brand split also has its detriments, and we'll get into those as well. One of them is that poor 3-hour piece of shit that you have to deal with, Brian. Oh, did I say that out loud? No. By the way, you've done an exceptional job. I mean, for people who don't know,
thank you very much.
I actually was the very first Raw recap author on PlaceBeNation.com. And I thought I didn't do too bad a job. Then we had a considerable downgrade with Dan McGinn, but then a big upgrade with Brian Bayless. So, nah, Dan was very good. But but roster-wise, there's no doubt that things definitely looked up. And as you mentioned, Brian, the huge big spike happened in Orlando at the Royal Rumble when AJ Styles came out at number 3. Instantly, the roster got better. Just that alone, the roster got better. We've seen some guys upgrade. Kevin Owens took a big step forward. Seth Rollins returned. We'll talk about Seth Rollins in a minute because he was an interesting case because a lot of people thought he was stagnant in 2015 when he was the world champion after cashing in 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I guess, at WrestleMania 31 out in San Francisco. Then he got hurt, and then we had the whole Money in the Bank and everything, and then he came back, had a spike for like a month, 2 months, and then immediately went right back to being stagnant again. We'll talk about Seth Rollins tonight because here's a guy who I think really needs a strong, a very strong 2017, or I don't know what's going to happen to him because I think he's in serious roster limbo right now. The roster overall, is easier to look at now because we do have the two splits. So why don't we just talk about the main thing at the moment that occurred in 2016, and that was the brand split, which happened in the summertime. Somebody on one of our chats said that there have been 23 weeks now of two shows. Well, we've had two shows every week. 23 weeks of the split. And their score was, in terms of which who had the better weeks, SmackDown 14 and Raw 9. So let me ask you, Mr. Bayless, did Raw have nine really, really good weeks better than SmackDown, or is this certain gentleman exaggerating? Let's talk about Raw for a minute, because it is the headline show, and let's get into Raw first. Since the split, well, let's do this. You've written Raw all year long. Mm-hmm. Question number one, has Raw changed a lot between pre-split and post-split? Because it's pretty much right down the middle. About 7 months of Raw when it was the whole roster, and it's been what, like 5.5 months of Raw as a standalone. Was the change for the better or the worse since the split for Raw?
It really hasn't been much change at all to me, to be honest. Aesthetically, they basically moved the announcers table next to the ramp. If you watch this past week, it was pretty much all backstage segments, so that stuff hasn't calmed down any. They added the cruiserweight division, which has kind of been a flop, I guess. But beyond that, there's still a lot of authority figures on Raw every week. I don't really see much change at all, to be honest. SmackDown is a much fresher show, and Raw is just pretty much the same as that it's been. Stagnant, stale.
Okay.
So I also don't agree that Raw has had nine better weeks than SmackDown since the brand split happened either.
Okay. D'Amato, what do you think? Pre-split, post-split.
I'm shocked at that 14-9 score. I figured it would be more like 20-3.
Yeah, I'd have a 20-3 too, probably.
Yeah, there hasn't been a lot of bad... I mean, honestly, there hasn't been a lot of bad SmackDowns, and there has been an inordinate number of bad Raws. Is it the roster? Is it the writing? Is it the production? Let's talk about that for a minute, because the number one difference that people have seen since the split between Raw and SmackDown. SmackDown just looks fresher. It's the same set. It's the same colors. I mean, they use gray now, although now gray's on Raw, although I always thought Raw at least should have stuck to the red and black, and I kind of dug the blue and gray for SmackDown. SmackDown looks better. Like, whoever's producing the show, the TV show, it looks fresher. I watch Raw, and I think I'm just watching the Attitude Era with crappier backstage segments. And it's funny you mentioned backstage segments, too, Brian, because those guys are not Steve Austin, Triple H in his prime, The Rock, Foley, Taker. I mean, that stuff was, the oddities, fucking, women with tits. I mean, it was so different than it is now. Now the backstage segments are just filled before commercials, and the dialogue and the acting is just atrocious.
Oh, boy.
it's not good, right? It's just not good.
Yeah, the dialogue's a big problem.
Dialogue is a huge problem. And the number one problem of that, and I want your opinion on this, John. Let's talk about Seth Rollins as part of this problem on Raw. I have no issues with Seth. But a Core 4 veteran of this show, Mr. Jordan Duncan, once said that Seth Rollins is sneaky bad. Meaning, everyone thinks he's good because he's, lumped in. He's young, the Shield, kind of lumped in with the new crop of guys in the last 3 years, 4 years. When you really watch him, is he that good? So after a whole year, John, particularly coming back from the injury, is he that good? Or is he, as Jordan said, sneaky bad?
I would lean closer to Jordan's opinion, because a great worker, a great performer should be able to work as both a heel and a face. And his face turn has been a disaster, in my opinion. Unfortunately, he wasn't dealt the best hand, as far as because the person that led to his face turn was your boy, Triple H. He's the one that screwed him bad. So unfortunately, they're not really giving him a chance to go out to go out there every week and get back at Triple H, because ever since Triple H, you know, did that dirty deed, he pretty much disappeared. So he's pretty much just going against Owens. And also a big part of the face turn or face turn or a heel turn is when you first make that turn, you should win your next feud immediately to catapult either that face or heel turn. And since his turn, he's pretty much lost most of the matches to Owens. So the writing and the booking hasn't done him any favors, but he hasn't been able to overcome that by really getting himself over as a face.
What do you think, Brian?
I agree with what he just said, pretty much. Since the injury, even in the ring as a worker, he's digressed pretty badly, I thought. The match at Roadblock that was set with Jericho, I didn't think it was good at all. I thought it sucked, to be honest with you. The writing has been terrible for him as a babyface. This upcoming feud, Triple H, doesn't do anything for anybody, I don't think.
Right.
And it's been a pretty bad flop as a babyface.
And I think the reason I mentioned Seth Rollins specifically is because I think he's the poster boy for what's wrong with Raw. Stale, uninspiring, and I think a lot of it's the production. Now, everyone knows that I can't stand, Woodchuck Horseface Kevin Dunn, because the show's just old-looking. It's old-looking. Same camera angles, same flow of the show, same bad, boring backstage segments that don't have the same talent and can't put anything over. And I know what some people are going to say. Oh, you loved Kevin Dunn 20 years ago. Yeah, because Kevin Dunn had fresh ideas 20 years ago. But when you use the same ideas 20 years later, they're not fresh anymore. You need to reinvent yourself. Everybody else does, and he hasn't. And obviously, and we say this a lot here on Main Event, it always goes back to Vince. I get that. But we have to break down the pieces here. Because SmackDown, Vince is very involved in SmackDown, and SmackDown looks nothing like Raw. So in this specific instance, I'm giving Vince the benefit of the doubt. This is about the guys that are actually doing the production of the show. And honestly, Brian, you watch the show week after week, nothing looks different from the previous week. It really does seem like a cookie-cutter show with no inspiration.
Completely agree.
You know? Now, let's talk SmackDown. Because for years we all thought SmackDown's number one problem was always it was taped. So you read the spoilers on whatever, Lords of Pain or, you know, whatever, Online Onslaught or whoever had spoilers. And then you decided whether you wanted to watch it or not. Well, now SmackDown is live every Tuesday, which I never thought would happen. I've said that many times on this program. I never thought SmackDown would ever actually be live. Never thought that. But let me ask you this, John. Do you think they kind of rigged SmackDown to succeed for two reasons? Number one, it's now live, and it's shorter. It's a standard 2 hours. And B, they kind of rigged the roster to have the more likable in terms of kind of the smarty fans guys. For instance, AJ's on that roster. Daniel Bryan's on that. You know, he's their GM. Everybody loves Shane. Everybody hates Stephanie. Everybody loves Daniel Bryan. Everyone's bored of Mick Foley. AJ's awesome. Everybody else on Raw isn't. We have Ambrose. We've got... Suddenly everybody loves Baron Corbin, who I used to hate. He's growing on me. The only thing that Raw has better, and maybe just because they're a little more advanced in their creativity, are the women. And as both you guys know, particularly you, John, no one is a bigger Becky Lynch fan than me. However, Becky has had it a little easy because the SmackDown women's roster is not as cultivated as Raw's women are. Having said that, you could also argue, I'm going devil's advocate crazy here, you could also argue that the feud of the year, which we'll talk about when we do our voting and awards later, is Sasha Banks and Charlotte. However, has that feud actually hurt the rest of Raw's women's roster? Because they've been on all the time. John, I'll start with you. That's a two-prong question. Number one, which women's roster is better and why?
Okay, number one, you hit it right on the head as far as Charlotte and Sasha have kind of overshadowed and made like the second feud kind of meaningless. Unfortunately, they did a decent job of trying to build Nia Jax up, but that second tier feud or the women's have definitely hasn't captured the attention. Looks like now that maybe it'll spruce back up, that they're going to go with Nia Jax versus Sasha as a second match behind Charlotte and Bayley, which is a good move in the right direction. But as far as this past year is concerned, that second match, there hasn't really been any juice or interest behind that. And going back to your first point, I have to disagree a little as far as SmackDown being like rigged, because man, look at the draft. Look at the baby faces on the SmackDown roster. It's very weak, and they've been able to overcome it. I mean, look who keeps getting all these shots is Dolph Ziggler, a guy who's been shit on pretty much by everybody. As you know, he's a loser. He's done. He has no charisma. He should retire and all that. And he keeps coming up. You know, as far as good matches, you know, maybe that's not the best thing. But he's been in some of the best matches that they've had. Mm-hmm. And there's like a real dearth of baby faces, and they've still been able to overcome it with good storylines. Like, look at one of the biggest, you know, stories that got a lot of time on SmackDown, which was most entertaining, but it's run its course, was, you know, your boy, my cousin Chinny, James Ellsworth, you know, to fill the time.
I think they should make that the second T-shirt, my cousin Chinny. That's tremendous. They need to make a T-shirt for that. Better than that fucking mugshot one that Rotella wants to wear.
Yeah, it's definitely run its course, but he definitely had some entertaining moments until they kind of overdid it, and they had him overshadowing like main events. That's when you know, you got to draw the line. But but definitely that was because of the lack of baby faces. But they were able to overcome it with good writing. And then again, I mean, we're not gonna beat a dead horse, but the Raw, that third hour's of Raw is a lot to overcome, and that with an extra hour, that there's gonna be, you know, extra hour of bad stuff. But we're not gonna beat that horse into the ground. I mean, USA wants to pay for that third hour, and WWE is not going to say, "Oh no, we're going to take less money. We're going to only do 2 hours." So,
right,
it's not even worth you know, going through that again. Well, 3 hours are there, and it's there to stay. They're getting paid for, and they're going to take the money. So, you know,
well,
that's what USA wants.
Right, I've got a solution for that, which I'll get into in a second. But Brian, am I wrong? Is John right? Well, question one: which is the better? Does SmackDown feel like it was kind of rigged to succeed because of the more popular guys on that roster? So my writer is John Wright. And number two, which women's roster is better right now? Number one.
For the first question, I don't think SmackDown was rigged to succeed. Their roster is pretty shallow. Even when the draft happened, it was a really shallow roster. And I touch upon the part about being weak in the babyface side. That's just a WWE problem right now. This past year, they've really lost their way when it comes to creating baby faces. All the people that are getting over now, like Styles and Jericho, The Miz, Alexa Bliss, Corbin, they're all heels. Have they got a new baby face over this year at all? Because I don't think they have.
Nope.
On the male side. And that's a problem with the WWE. They do not know what the fans want to cheer for in a wrestler, so they end up cheering for the heels.
You could say the hottest baby face is Sasha Banks. You know?
Probably.
You know? Yeah. And now now my second question too about the women's roster.
I think Raw has the better women's roster overall. You know, Sasha and Charlotte are the top two women in the company. They perceived on TV, and then you add Bayley to the mix. Nia Jax to be something too. She's different than the other women on the roster. Whereas SmackDown, you have Becky Lynch, and Natalya is a decent veteran. And then you have Carmella, who tries hard, but no one cares. And I feel bad for her. No one cares at all about her when she's out there. And Alexa Bliss has been a great character as far as in the ring. She still needs a lot of improvement. But yeah, I think Raw is a better women's roster overall.
And it's funny because SmackDown, from the beginning, actually ended up getting two solid women's feuds before Raw did, because we had Becky Lynch and all the other, you know, heels battling for the title, which she obviously won eventually. But then there was the side feud between Carmella and Nikki Bella. Regardless whether it was over or not, at least they tried. Whereas I feel like on Raw, it was Sasha and Charlotte, and then Nia Jax beating up the jobbers. Now, that was early on while Bayley was still in NXT, because she was trying to finish off her stuff with Asuka. You talked about Dolph Ziggler, John, and now he has another new t-shirt. Like, this is the weird thing. There's guys you would expect to see, wow, you know, waiting for this next t-shirt from so-and-so. And meanwhile, I think Dolph Ziggler actually has had like four t-shirts out this year. For a guy who everyone thought was a loser and like is everybody's burnt out on him. So bizarre. Maybe his stuff's marketable, but he's just, you know, the fans can dig the t-shirts but don't want to see him wrestle anymore. I don't know. It's very weird. Let's talk about the splitting of the belts. Now, of course, the world title, they call it now the WWE World Championship, although they haven't changed the belt yet in terms of wording. It still says World Heavyweight Champion on it. And, of course, it is still held by AJ, who has now held it for close to 5 months now, 4 months. Over 4 months, I guess. And Kevin Owens, who, of course, was the backup to the backup to the backup after Finn Balor blew his shoulder out, is the Universal Champion with that resplendent red belt. Brian, has the main event situation worked successfully on both shows? Has the split helped the main event situation? Has two belts been necessary in terms of the two brands?
I think it's necessary at this point to have a belt on each show. But that Universal title has just been really a meaningless title since it started. Balor got hurt when he won it, and then they had Owens win it, and it's pretty obvious they had no real plan for him. He's just holding it till they figure something out, I suppose. It's been 4 months now, and that title I don't think means anything right now to anybody, the Universal title. And with Reigns and Rollins on top as you know, two faces, and they're ice cold right now, I don't know who's going to make that title mean anything anyway. But with AJ Styles on SmackDown, he's made that title something. That's the top title in the company to me, but the Universal title never meant anything, at least to me anyway.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, John?
Yeah, unfortunately for the Raw title, Owens and Chris Jericho have been so entertaining with their little back and forth that it's overshadowed the title. I mean, them two should have their routine there should be like on a second tier level, not like your main event type. You know, one of the guys. Right. So the matches about the belt really take a backseat to what's going on between Owens and Jericho. Are they friends? You know, their banter and which has been very entertaining, but unfortunately, it doesn't do anything to enhance the title, and who's fighting for it. So that's been a detriment. Unfortunately, you know, even though it has been entertaining, so mm-hmm. So it's hurt the title.
Yeah, here's the thing. Let's go back to that, and we were there, John, you and I, and at SummerSlam, we saw Finn Balor pop the place when he won the Universal Belt. Unfortunately, I think he already realized when he had it in his hand, like, oh, I'm gonna have to give this thing up tomorrow night. John, would it be different right now? If Finn Balor doesn't get hurt at SummerSlam, does he still have the belt right now?
I would say yes.
I think so, too. Brian, what do you think? Oh, sorry, John. No, sorry, John. Go ahead, finish your point. I'm sorry.
No, because to take it away off him after only 2-3 months, it would really hurt him. So they really pushed him strong, and he got it right off the bat. So he definitely would have kept it. Up to now, sure.
Okay. Brian?
No, I agree. I think he still would have the title right now if he hadn't got hurt. They seemed like they had a plan for him. He went right out of the gate. So I think he'd still be the champion at this moment if he was healthy.
So here's an interesting question then. We're saying that, and this is all of us, we're saying that Kevin Owens having the belt since August has been warming the, you know, keeping it warm. Whereas if Balor has had the belt since SummerSlam, it was a planned extended reign. So the question is, have they never thought about Owens as a viable champion? And this was just something to pop that one night that he won the four-way because it was a guy that the world wanted to see win a belt. John, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's closer to that. Sure, that he was, that Owens is more kind of a last-minute afterthought. Sure,
and that he won that four-way just because the crowd knew he was a guy that everybody wanted to see be champion. And after a few months, all right, you're bored with him now, right? Yeah, we thought so too. What do you think, Brian?
I think he was the only person that put it on at the time, really. I mean, they couldn't put it on Reigns again. Rollins was still technically a heel at that point. They weren't going to – it seemed like they were going to turn him anyway, but they wanted to give him the belt if he was a heel. And I think Big Cass was the other member of that match, and they weren't going to put it on him at all.
Right.
And besides that, I don't know who else in the roster would even qualify to hold the belt. So I think he was just the only person that they had that could put the belt on.
I think when the split occurred, I think it was pretty much a foregone conclusion that that belt was going to go that on SmackDown the world title was going to go around AJ's waist by hook or by crook, and they were just praying he doesn't get hurt, and he hasn't. He's been nicked and bumped, but not enough to get him off the show. So as we enter the year, let's talk about the champions for a minute. As we enter the year, who loses first? John, Owens or AJ?
I would say AJ at the Rumble. Looks like it's going to be Cena time.
What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, sadly, I agree too. I think AJ's going to lose it at the Rumble as well. As far as Owens, I mean, they can't put it on Reigns at this point right now. They really can't. So I don't think he's going to lose at the Rumble. And besides that, he'll probably lose at Mania. But.
I believe that AJ does lose at the Rumble as well. I'd hate to see Cena win it again. But if they're setting up a Cena Taker match, which is what, about 5 years too late, I think that's just gonna be a dreadful WrestleMania main event. We'll get into WrestleMania and kind of the first quarter of 2017 later in the show. Who does Owens lose to? Will Balor be ready by WrestleMania, Brian, do you think?
I think the timeline is some point between the Rumble and Mania. But if he was to lose, I assume it'll be to him. I don't know who else. It looks like Rollins will be with Triple H at WrestleMania. I don't know what to do at Reigns. So yeah, it could be Balor.
I think they're curious to see if Finn Balor will be ready by the Rumble, or even, you know, Fastlane, or whatever they could do in February to get the belt on him or get him set up to beat Owens in Orlando. All right, let's leave the main roster for a minute. Let's talk about NXT. NXT, when the year ended, if I remember correctly, when the year ended, Finn Balor was our NXT champion. If I remember correctly, yes. Bayley was our women's champion. And I want to say Murphy and what's his face? Were they the NXT tag team champions at the end of last year? When the calendar turned? Where are those two guys? Murphy and the fuck's the other guy?
Blake and Murphy.
Blake and Murphy. Were they the champions when the year ended? I don't even remember. Who did American Alpha face at NXT Dallas?
The Revival.
The Revival. So do they have the belts even that far back? Holy shit, you might be right. I have to look that up. Let's talk. While I'm looking that up, let's talk about the. Let's talk about the roster in general. John, thumbs up, thumbs down from beginning to end. Is the roster gotten better or worse on, in NXT in the in a year?
Well, it has gotten worse just because of the promotions. They lost, and it looks like Joe's going to be the next one to lose. But they lost American Alpha and Finn Balor, so they definitely took some hard hits, and they haven't replenished it. Especially the right now, the NXT Women is as weak as it's been in a while because of Sasha and Bayley moving out of there. So, and they haven't really replenished because right now Asuka doesn't really have a viable threat for their top women's match, so that's hurting their cards right now.
The Revival had won the titles over the Vaudevillains at on October 22nd, 2015, on an episode of NXT, and they held it until the night before WrestleMania 32, and they did indeed lose to American Alpha, who held them until June when the Revival won them back, and then, of course, we all know what happened at NXT TakeOver Toronto when DIY, Mr. Gargano, Mr. Ciampa, beat them in the 2 out of 3 falls. So yeah, so American Alpha, or the Revival had the belts when the year started, and they almost had the belts when the year ended. But the main event top of the roster has been fairly solid. We've had obviously some incredible matches at these TakeOvers. Kevin Owens was the champion. Now, when the year started, it was Samoa Joe. I'm sorry, it was Finn Balor who had won it on that awesome show on the 4th of July from Kevin Owens in Tokyo in 2015. Then he held it all the way till April. At a house show in Lowell, Mass, when Samoa Joe won it. And then Joe, I think, won the rematch at TakeOver in a Cage. And then, of course, Nakamura won it at NXT Brooklyn 2. And then Joe won it at Toronto, won it back, only to have Nakamura win it back a couple weeks later at a house show in Osaka, Japan. So I think, obviously, Joe won it the second time in Toronto just to set up Nakamura winning it in his home country. Joe is probably leaving. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Nakamura is the face of NXT right now, and he has been tremendous as champion and just as a character. Fought a great match against Sami Zayn in Dallas. At NXT TakeOver San Antonio, he has taken on my guy, the glorious Bobby Roode, for the NXT title. John, does Nakamura lose that match, lose the title, and he shows up the next night at the Royal Rumble?
No, I don't think they're going to do that yet. I think he's going to stay a while, okay. Probably even through Mania.
Okay. You think Joe shows up at the Rumble?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Brian, same questions. Does Nakamura lose to Roode at... Well, I shouldn't say that. Well, how do I word it? Because, I mean, Nakamura could lose and not show up at the Rumble. Is Nakamura show up at the Rumble? Either way.
I don't believe so. I think Joe will be there.
Okay.
But I don't think Nakamura will be there. I also think Ty Dillinger will be there, too. I predict they'll give him the number 10 entrant in that match, and he'll come out to that.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I think that's neat. I think that Nakamura and Bobby Roode are going to feud through the winter. And I think you will see a Roode-Nakamura rematch at NXT TakeOver Orlando. And I think Nakamura loses. And then the night after WrestleMania, I think Nakamura will make his debut. Now, obviously, the NXT roster needs to do some work as well. Because you can't just keep pushing these guys, you know, oh, they're here a year, and then they got to go to the main roster, and the next thing you know, the roster's shit. Nakamura is a guy that could stay for a while. The problem is the top of the roster in NXT is all 30-somethings. You know, remember when NXT started, the Seth Rollins, the Biggie Langstons, Bo Dallas's, Neville, Sammy, Kevin, Finn, all guys in their 20s. They're all moved up on the roster, and now your last two NXT champions, Samoa Joe and Shinsuke Nakamura, are both in their 30s, close to 40. Excuse me. So, has NXT lost its identity in the last year? Going from this young, burgeoning AAA kind of league, federation, promotion, that is a breeding ground for new guys to go up the roster, to the main rosters, and as the year has progressed, has changed into almost its own territory. Should NXT stop being thought of as AAA and should be included as a third brand? And do you feel they're leaning towards that with having these kinds of guys at the top of the roster? Brian, I'll start with you. What do you think?
I think it's a mixture of both. I know they want a tour, so you have to have some stars if you're going to tour. You can't have all 20-somethings and barely any experience. Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, most of the male roster is a bunch of guys in their 30s, and there's really no one I see that's in their 20s that guys they built from the ground up coming up to replace and be the young stars anytime soon. And you know, they have a lot of player coaches down there too, like Bobby Roode and Eric Young, and reports say they might sign Chris Hero back. I assume that'll be his role in NXT.
You have Aries.
Roderick Strong they just signed.
You got Roddy, you got Aries.
And yep. Even Ty Dillinger is upper 30s, I believe. He's not a young guy at all. So they need to find young talent again. Because I don't know what kind of future going to have at NXT if they don't get any young talent who can actually wrestle. But I think it's they want a tour, so they're going to have these guys on the roster. So I think it's a mixture of developmental and an actual product, and the brand is use this tour and sell, you know, get money.
He is 35, and I did not know this. How did I not fucking know this? Ty Dillinger was Stan. You know, I just kicked Stan. Shawn Michaels at the at Cyber Sunday 06 when Triple H said, you know, they said you're not controversial. And he goes, you, what's your name? Stan. And he super kicked him. I just kicked Stan. Ty Dillinger is Stan. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was also, if people might not know, he was also Gavin Spears when they did the WWE ECW revival.
Yep. Yep. So he's 35. So yeah, he's definitely been around the block. Is NXT almost turning into a more lucrative Ring of Honor, John?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think this past week, Triple H had made reference to that in an interview that basically they don't want to look at it as minor league. They want to kind of build it up as a number three. Mm-hmm. You know, right with Raw and SmackDown, right on that level. So I definitely think it's geared more to that, and especially with all the additions, like you guys said, Roddy Strong and Aries, and they keep coming. So I think it's going to be looked at as more of a number three show instead of a minor league show.
And having said that, and I agree, this may end up helping the roster in 2017 because the reason I say this, and the reason I think Triple H is saying this, is because maybe if there's a guy on either roster who needs a change of scenery, who wants to come in and make an impact somewhere else, maybe they head down to NXT for a few months, feud with some of those guys, get refreshed, and then head back up and head back to go to another brand. I think. Oh, go ahead, John.
No, you're definitely right. Like they did it with Zack Ryder, and it worked great. And then he got back up. He got a little IC title glory. And I'm just surprised they haven't really done that with anybody else since then. So
you want Roman Reigns to be a heel do they want him to be a heel? Have him back, go to NXT and have him treat it like minor league. You know? Or how about something fucked up like this? Have John Cena show up down there one day. Or, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking outside the box, but that is what I think needs to happen for NXT in 2017. I think they need to start really being booked and treated like a third promotion. Almost like the Intercontinental title of promotions, where it's all the athletes, all the workers, and not the lazy slugs. And I think that could happen. I think that could happen. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, they used to do that. They used to put guys down in NXT to refresh and bring them back up. Like Tyson Kidd was one person did it with. And even like guys like Titus O'Neil and such. But yeah, I mean, if you want to revitalize guys, I'd send them down to NXT, sure. Absolutely. There's a lot of guys in the roster that aren't really being used all that well that could jumpstart their careers again.
I think that's something you're going to see. Mark my words on that. We're going to talk about that throughout 2017 here on Main Event, and I'm sure the guys will probably talk about it on Clotheslines and Headlines. Watch NXT's identity get even stronger as a standalone territory, if you will, baby, in 2017. And that includes the tag teams. I'm petrified of seeing the Revival get promoted and then jobbing to those fucking clowns like fucking Mojo Rawley and another asshole. Like, I'm petrified. I'm scared shitless. It was bad enough that my beloved Ascension got turned into fucking, you know, the powers of pain without roids. Now, the Revival is like my favorite tag team in the last, like, 5 years. And they're going to get called up and they're going to fucking eat pins to Sheamus and fucking Cesaro. No. Not allowed. Not allowed. I would just keep them down there and keep feuding with Gargano and Ciampa because those guys are fucking great. I also think that tag teams are easier to... Let me ask you this, John. I think tag teams might be easier to cultivate, and maybe that leads to guys, you know, tag teams splitting up and working solo. Because you have four... We mentioned four guys specifically. Four of the best Ring of Honor / indie guys in the world are all in NXT right now. Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, Austin Aries, Roddy Strong. Four guys you could move to the top of the card. All of them could be NXT champions easily. And maybe you start cultivating other tag teams, like that TM61 or TX60, whatever that Australian team is. They're a tag team. Authors of Pain, they're a tag team. Sanity, at least those two guys, they're a tag team. Eric Young, another guy that could be pushed as a main event star. So once they look past the factions, I think that could be spread out, and I think more main eventers could be cultivated and created. Let me ask you this, John. Name me two guys in NXT between now and the end of 2017 that will be NXT champion that have never won it before. Who do you think is going to be after Nakamura? Tick-tock,
tick-tock. Because I think Rude's... I think Rude will probably go up before he becomes champion. So.
I'm thinking that too, actually.
Yeah. Like, Rude and Dillinger will first come to mind, but I think they're gonna be called up before they even get a chance to be champion. So
I agree.
Nobody really jumps out at me as who the next champ is going to be.
Okay. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I'm struggling, too, to think of who could be the next champ. I think Rude could be, but they might want to put him in the main roster. As far as the others down there, I don't think Roderick Strong would be a champion down there. I think they keep Gargano and Ciampa as a team for a while. I'm just struggling to think of anybody right now. I don't think Itami, when he comes back, will be a champion. I can't think of anybody else at the moment. Rude's probably the only person I can think of.
I like Roddy Strong. I do. I don't know if he was signed full-time or if he's a guy that's going to stick around. I'm assuming he is, but I might be wrong. But I could see Roddy Strong easily as an NXT champion. I'd love to see that. Maybe Aries, another guy I think. I'm not saying Gargano and Ciampa are going to break up like next week, but we'll see how long they hold the tag straps. And again, I think the future, I think that's another question based on how long the Revival stick around and if they end up going to the main roster as well. Guys, great discussion first segment. And we got a lot more to talk about as we wrap up 2016 here on episode 66 of the main event. Scott Griscolo, Brian Bayless, J. Arsenio D'Amato. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about some other aspects of WWE over the past year. Has the network gotten better or worse? We'll thumbs up and thumbs down all of the pay-per-views and then give our end-of-year awards. More main event after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, Place to Be Nation pop feed, pro wrestling only feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Griscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit clotheslines and headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and, Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. On our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name. Now it will be known simply as Pro Wrestling Only. So it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
Welcome back, Place to Be Nation, episode 66 of the main event, the final main event of 2016. Scott Griscolo, Brian Bayless, J. Arsenio D'Amato. We've been talking about the year that has been 2016, and more of it coming up shortly. But first, a look at PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Got a new show coming up, welcoming Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. is joining the feed in 2017. Joe and Quinn, as they go through their wrestling memories and talk about things they remember and things they wish they didn't. With new episodes set to debut next week, we wanted to share two specific shows from their backlog. This one is Episode 7. Scott Keith was on, our good friend. They talked about Ken Shamrock, LOD Overrated. I'm already not listening now. Coliseum Video, the Montreal Screwjob, and so much more. I'm kidding. I'll listen anyway. Anyway, that's the new show coming up on the Place Me Nation feed in 2017, Our Vantage Point. You can listen to one of their older episodes right now on the site, placemenation.com. The Military Industrial Suplex, number 4, Kay Fabian's Infinite Playlist. The two-man crew of the charter boat SS Suplex ran into a tropical storm with one of the crew members being lost at sea, now shipwrecked on an uncharted island somewhere in the Pacific. Tom Batista must press forward the only way that he knows how. Rating about pro wrestling. Wrestling. With his trusty and somehow ultra-durable Packard Bell AR-851 AM radio, Tom discusses authenticity and imitation in pro wrestling and the various aspects of the existentialist philosophies and how they are interpreted and applied by promoters, wrestlers, and the business overall. A very cerebral show. The three-hour tour may have come to an end, but Tom's ruckety-ruck decision, making process of selecting the color of his Kopi Luwak. What is this? Who wrote this? And new podcast gimmick have just begun. They always set me up for these fucking tongue twisters. Anyway, the Military Industrial Suplex, number 4, Kay Fabian's Infinite Playlist. Check it out on placemination.com. Kelly Nelson, Imaginary Stories, number 9, Spider-Man in the Silver Age, part 2. Kelly and Johnny finished their look at Silver Age Spidey by examining the late 60s, early 70s period to the character. So check that out. The most recent episode of the excellent WWE Network Adventure, myself, Mr. Rosero, Chad, Greeny, Dan McGinn, we looked at the, I think this is the final episode, if I remember correctly, the April 18th, 1985, Tuesday Night Titans. Is this the Jobber one? I don't think so. It might be the Jobber one.
No, I wrote on this one, too. It's the one with the high T with
Hayes and you were on this Spot. One. You were on this one. Yes, you were on this one, Brian. It was the high T. That was an awesome one because I wanted Moondog Spot to flip the table over. That's a good one. Yes, check that one out. Once again, I'm sorry about Brian. I apologize. I had forgotten you were on this one. Yes, the excellent WWE Network Adventure, the April 18th, 1985 episode of Tuesday Night Titans. Glenn Butler with your Wednesday walk around the web. Steve's box office report, December 2000 six. Check out the top 10 films for the month of December 10 years ago. Psychology is Dead, number 5, the top 50 wrestlers of 2016. Quentin is joined by Timothy from Lucha Undead to discuss the top 50 wrestlers of this past year. JR and I continuing our Vintage Vault refresh, the March 21st, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw, the night after WrestleMania 10. The newest episode of Between the Sheets, the 75th episode for Mr. Zellner, Mr. Bixenspan. Their guest list this week, they talk about the week that was December 21st through the 27th, 1992. And guess what's back, everyone? The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular. They talk about, of course, my favorite movie right now, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And us Star Warsians, very sad, of course, at the loss of the Princess of Alderaan. But Rogue One was a tremendous film, so please check it out. PlacementNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Type in PlacementNation.com/Amazon, all the gift cards you got for Christmas and Hanukkah. Use them on Amazon, and if you go through link or you type PlacementNation.com/Amazon, a little piece comes back to us to help us run the site, so please do that. No extra cost to you. You'll buy your stuff like you would anything else, but we get a little kickback thanks to Amazon. Of course, also check out all of our ebooks that myself and JR continue to accumulate. And, everything you want. Pro wrestling, sports, music. Of course, we have three feeds. We have, of course, the PTBN wrestling feed. We have the PWO feed. And, of course, the PTBM pop feed, which is all the other great stuff. Comic shows, etc. Music stuff. Mr. D'Amato, wink, wink. And check it out. So that's our that's all of our wrestling podcast feeds. And other as well. Place2bNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys. We have been talking about 2016 as a wrestling year, and now it's time for me to go a little lightning round here. If you need help, I can give you some of the card. But we are going to thumbs up or thumbs down the pay-per-views of 2016. So I'm going to fire off the pay-per-views at you. You tell me, check mark yes, thumbs down no. So thumbs up or thumbs down, and I will keep a tabs on your two, and we'll see how many, which of you thought the pay-per-views in 2016 were better. So we will begin, of course, with my favorite pay-per-view of 2016, and that was, of course, the Royal Rumble in Orlando. D'Amato, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Up.
Damn right you're saying up. Mr. Bayless.
Oh, thumbs up. That was a very good show. That's a thumbs up for me easily.
Of course it was.
Except for the shitty ending when who won? Somebody won the belt or something at the end?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. You're fired. all right, Fastlane.
Thumbs up until the end, yeah.
Thumbs up. I'll give you a thumbs up. Fastlane, Brian. Do you need help?
I think that's a thumbs down for me. I think they had a bunch of crap. They had like Curtis Axel and R-Truth in that show. That show was pretty crappy, I thought.
Here's the card. Becky Lynch and Sasha defeated Team Bad. Kevin Owens beat Dolph Ziggler. Big Show, Kane, and Ryback defeated the Wyatt family. Charlotte beat Brie Bella. AJ beat Jericho. Curtis Axel defeated R-Truth. And Roman Reigns defeated Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, thumbs down.
Thumbs down. D'Amato.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a down. Although life in the fast lane, I'm sorry for Glenn Frey, but that's,
I know.
That's a down.
That is a down. I'm not going to count Roadblock because that wasn't really a pay-per-view. That was a glorified house show, so I'm not going to count that. And I'm not going to count any of the takeovers either. This is just the big roster. All right, WrestleMania. D'Amato.
Down.
Down. Brian?
Thumbs down.
Okay. Too long? Was that the only reason that you didn't like it?
No, I mean, besides the length of the show, the build to it was poor. It was a main event no one wanted to see. It was just too grandiose with that shit with the Rock with the flamethrower. It was awful. I thought that was terrible. That took me out of the show by itself. But no, that overall it was a bad show.
Okay. D'Amato, other than the length, and you were with me, so.
Yeah, I'm going down because were there any match of the year candidates on there? Not really. Maybe the I think WWE did a thing where they listed their top 20 match of the year candidates. I think only the women's match was thrown on there from WrestleMania. None of the others even came close. So there really wasn't that, you know, a 4 or 5 star match on your biggest card of the year. So that's why it gets it down for me.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Payback, Brian.
I'll give that a thumbs up.
Okay. D'Amato?
Yeah, up for me too, yeah, definitely.
Okay. That, of course, was the first of the back-to-back Reigns-AJ Styles main events. Extreme Rules.
Oh, way up for me. Way up.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, another thumbs up. That was a good show.
Okay. Let's see. We were not going to count NXT TakeOver the End. Money in the Bank.
Up, all the way up.
Up, 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 up. Up, 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 up. Brian?
Yeah, that's a thumbs up for me, too.
That was a good show, and of course it culminated with Dean Ambrose cashing in his Money in the Bank. And of course that was 2 days after Money in the Bank. Roman Reigns was pinched for violating the wellness policy, and of course we had those great jokes all summer. That was fantastic. Battleground.
That's up. A slight up. Yeah.
Okay. Brian?
It's tough to say. I guess I'll go up for that, too. Very slightly up.
Okay. SummerSlam. Brian?
It's another tough one. I thought the Cena-Styles match was the best WWE pay-per-view match of the year, but I thought the pacing and some of the stuff in that show was pretty bad, but I guess all in all, I'll go thumbs slightly up.
Okay. Johnny? You and I enjoyed it live.
Yeah, it was even from a it was up. It was a slight up, but like Brian said, mainly because of Styles and Cena. But overall, you could argue that it was a downer.
Okay.
There was a lot of blah moments, but definitely Styles and Cena definitely made it enough.
So you say thumbs up.
Yeah.
Okay. Backlash. Brian.
I'll go a slight thumbs up for that, too.
Okay.
No, I'm going way up for that one. To me, that was one of the best pay-per-views of the year.
Okay. Of course, that had AJ actually winning the title.
Right.
Let's see. What is this that just came up? They counted this as a whole. All right, sorry. My screen just kind of wonked out. They actually counted the Cruiserweight Classic as an actual special. I'm going along Wikipedia here. Clash of Champions. John.
Ooh, that's a down.
Brian?
Down. That's down.
Okay. No Mercy.
Up.
Boop, boop.
That's up for me, too.
All right. You guys have not dissuaded from each other. Hell in a Cell.
Down.
Yeah, that's a down.
Okay. Survivor Series.
I'm going up.
Okay.
I'll go slightly up on that.
Okay.
I'll go up slightly.
Okay. TLC.
Up.
Okay. Brian?
Yeah, I'll go slightly up for that, too. A lot of people didn't like that, but I thought they had two very good matches on that show. I'll go slightly up.
Okay. And Roadblock.
Ooh, way down. Probably the worst one of the year.
John?
Yeah, that's down for me, too. Either that or Clash of the Champions is probably the worst of the year. That's a down.
Notice they're both Raws. So, of the, if you count the official shows, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 shows in 2016, you guys had 11 thumbs ups and 5 thumbs downs. And the thumbs downs were Fastlane, WrestleMania 32, Clash of Champions, Hell in a Cell, and Roadblock. So what's interesting is 3 of the 5 thumbs downs were post-split, and all of them were the Raw shows. Interesting. I agree with you on almost all those, by the way. I just wanted to see what your guys' votes were. The next big event, according to, is the United Kingdom Championship Tournament, which will take place second weekend in January at the Empress Ballroom in Blackpool, right in Regal's backyard. The participants are Tiger Ali, Joseph Connors, Jordan Devlin, Pete Dunne, H.C. Dyer, James Drake, Sam Gradwell, Saxon Huxley, love that name, Roy Johnson, Dan Maloney, Ringo Ryan, that's the other one I like, Jack Stars, sounds like a porn star, Trent Seven, Tucker, Tyler Bate, Chris Tyler, so we have a guy whose first name is Tyler and a guy whose last name is Tyler, T-Bone, and Wolfgang, and Wolfgang is the only one not English. He is from Scotland. He's actually from Glasgow. Come on, don't you think they should pump it up and have bagpipes come in with him? Have a guy come out with a hat and a cast on his arm? Come on! Anyway, that's the next big event. Speaking of the network, let's talk about the network for a minute. Brian, from this time last year, has the network been better or worse?
Well, I think it's been better. You know, the Cruiserweight Classic was a pretty good success in introducing stuff like the UK tournament. And I think in general, they've added more older content to the library. They beefed that up. So I think it's definitely been better, the network overall. Even technical problems I've seen much less of than the year prior.
I agree with that, actually. I haven't had a lot of technical problems either. Was the network still missing?
Some of the original shows are pretty horrible, but they've gotten better with that. I think for older WWE fans, I think the syndicated television shows, they'd really want that.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I think they've done a pretty good job bringing more stuff to the network, more older stuff, maybe more of the territorial footage they own. They can put that on the network too, like more Mid-South or World Class. Even like the OVW library, I believe they have too, put that on the network. But that's just minor complaints. But I think they've done a really good job in 2016 with the network.
I'm surprised they haven't put at least the 2002, or I guess you could say 2000, 2001 OVW stuff, because that's, you know, that's all the class. That's all the Orton, Cena, Batista, Brock,
right.
Shelton. I'm surprised they have not put that on there at all, because, I mean, that's right up those guys' wheelhouses. John, from beginning to end of the year, your thoughts on the network? Thumbs up, thumbs down, and is there anything missing still?
Oh, well, it's a definite thumbs up. The Cruiserweight Classic was amazing, and 205 Live, although it's taken a lot of criticism, it's still an effective show, and it's going to improve. So it's better what's out there. And of course, I mean, we're beating a dead horse. You know, we complain about it on the chats a lot, but for me, especially old school fans, missing like the old championship wrestling from the 70s and 80s, or the superstars. Like maybe if they want to start like when superstars when championship wrestling turned into superstars, I believe it started in the mid 80s. Like start it up like a week at a time. Like have a Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Like superstars wrestling was starting it from day one. You know, episode 96, and then keep doing it episodically. And then after you air it live, of course, you know, you put it up there for on demand anytime you want. But that's a big thing that they need to make up their minds whether they want to. You know, have all these shows with the, you know, the ride-alongs and your Swerved and stuff for your kids or your casual fans and your ladies, or if you want to go after the, you know, us hardcore types. So they're kind of stuck in between. It's like, yeah, well, you know, we're going to give you some of these, you know, fluff shows, and then, you know, but and then once in a while we'll throw in, you know, Battle of Atlanta or something for your hardcore you know, guys, you know, all those gems. So, you know, we'd like to see more of them, but.
Yeah,
but I understand. I mean, they know better than us, probably, as far as the demographics they're studying. You know, they want to reel the kids in and stuff with these shows, who probably aren't gonna, you know, could care less about seeing championship wrestling from the 79 or something like that, which me and you would be jerking off over.
So. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, oh God, I need more Dean Ho.
Yeah,
oh
yeah.
God. Oh, more Donna Christian. Well, you and I will always want a piece of Donna Christian.
Baron Miguel Sacluna.
Sacluna! The problem I have with the new content is, you know, it's funny you were saying about the quality of the original shows, Brian, because I almost feel like they've gotten worse. Like, Countdown's a great show. WrestleMania Rewind. Rivalries, those shows are fantastic, and then they just stopped doing them. Yeah. So they could do fucking Holy Foley. That show is terrible.
Holy Foley is the worst show they've ever produced, I think.
It fucking sucks.
WWE is better than that.
There is nothing good about. There is nothing entertaining about his family. Nothing whatsoever. Nothing. They all look like him. Who the fuck wants to see five of him? I mean, they're all. It's awful, awful. And I haven't watched the Stories cartoon yet. Camp WWE was unwatchable dreck. I mean, that was atrocious. And meanwhile,
yeah, the story time's okay. It's amusing. It's short, so it's, you know, it's,
yeah,
20 minutes. It's not good. It's okay though.
I have to check it out.
That's going to make a break whether you're watching that.
Oh, absolutely not. No, absolutely not.
Thing, yeah.
Absolutely not. I mean, they could keep doing WrestleMania Rewind. They could keep doing Rivalries. You realize how many of those they could fucking do? Why did they stop? Why did they stop? So we could do Holy Foley? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I would rather see another season of Legends House, but if they can. But
yeah, I would love to. I thought they were going to do it. I thought they were going to do another season.
Happen, yeah.
I know. I thought they were going to do another season. I remember. I mean, obviously, if you can go back, you want to go back to the PlaceBeNation.com archives. Mr. McGinn and I did a weekly column on that week's episode of Legends House, and then we had a lot of fun with it. It was a fun show, except the one episode where Piper's walking around the woods in his bathrobe, clueless. That was kind of disturbing. But God rest his soul. But there's definitely a chance for improvement on the network in terms of those shows. I mean, they just stopped with Rivalries. The three that bother me the most, well, two for the, I guess for the most part, are WrestleMania Rewind and Rivalries. There's no excuse why they still can't make more of those. No excuse at all. I just don't understand. I don't understand at all. They definitely could keep doing those shows, those two shows. I just don't get it. But the upgrade is that we get NXT, and they're doing cool things. They did that great. I mean, this was last year, 2015, but they did the house show from those two house shows. They did the one from Japan, and then they did the one from MSG. Now they're going to do this awesome 2-day tournament from the UK, which is going to be fantastic. Those are the things I like about the network. Stuff that normal TV wasn't going to get. We'd have to get like recap shows and stuff, but now we're going to get it live. So that's what the network. That's a big deal. And once again, it will be live from the Empress Ballroom in Blackpool, Lancashire, England. And I believe that the follow. So that's during the week, actually. No, I'm sorry. That's a Saturday, Sunday. My bad. So I think that following Wednesday, I think, is the next, will be a main event week. So we'll be able to recap the tournament, pretty sure, if I have my calendar correct. In terms of house shows and prime times and stuff like that, Johnny, I agree with you. It's not a make or break for me, but it wouldn't hurt to have more of it. But if they keep doing stuff like the UK tournament and all these cool, you know, the NXT takeovers and the crazy midweek stuff, I'm fine with it. But I'm not, I mean, it's, I get, just for the three major projects that I'm doing right now, which is the Network Adventure, the Vintage Vault Refresh written stuff, and of course, JR's and my Place to Be podcast refreshes. Trust me, I watch more than my share of my $9.99 a month. I think I make it in like 3 days. So it's a deal. To me, it's a deal. I'll never not do it. All right. Let us now do our awards, our year-end awards. And we're going to break it down into two brands. We're not going to do Raw and SmackDown together. We'll do WWE and NXT. NXT, guys. Show of the year. Brian.
For NXT, TakeOver Dallas.
TakeOver Dallas. Okay. We'll do since it's three people here, we can break the tie. Johnny?
Going to have to go with TakeOver Brooklyn.
I am agreeing with you. I was there live. You were there.
Yeah, we're biased. Yeah,
we are biased. But it was a fantastic show. Brian, TakeOver Dallas was a tremendous show. Asuka's debut, Nakamura's debut. Well, big show debut anyway. And that Revival American Alpha match was fucking incredible. But to me, TakeOver Brooklyn 2 had the match of the year. That weekend had two matches of the year, because that night, the Revival and DIY, that match is better than the rematch in Toronto, in my opinion. The match in Toronto was fucking amazing. So on a 2-1 vote, TakeOver Brooklyn 2 is the NXT show of the year. Match of the year in NXT. John.
The DIY and the Revival.
Brooklyn or Toronto?
No, the one with DIY won the belt.
So Toronto. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Brian?
I'm going to go with that one too. DIY, Revival, and Toronto.
Okay. I'm going to get outvoted. I'm picking the same two groups, but I like the one in Brooklyn better, but that's okay. It's a Revival, and that's fine with me. So DIY Revival from Toronto. Tag Team of the Year, Johnny.
The Revival. Tully and On, 2016.
Brian?
Yeah, it has to be the Revival, I think.
Aren't they fucking amazing?
Yep.
They're really fucking amazing. They are Tully and Arn, 2016, no doubt. Because their shirts say it. No flips, just fists. Meaning, we're not indie, you know, jump off the fucking roof. We're just going to get in the ring and punch you in the face until you quit. That's what I like, man. That's the balance I like in NXT, is those two guys. They're not in great shape. They're a little flabby, but they go in there and they fucking kick the shit out of you. And that's what I love about them. And they put on incredible matches. Tag Team of the Year, Revival in NXT. And Wrestler of the Year, Brian.
This is a tough one, I think.
men or women. I'm putting them together.
You know what? I'll be different. I'll go with Scott Dawson. I think he's the most underrated guy in the company, on either brand.
And I love that.
I don't think Nakamura or it's really been like the world on fire personally in NXT. I was going to go with Joe, but he hasn't had a great marquee match still yet in NXT, in my opinion. So I'll go with Scott Dawson.
Okay. Johnny?
NXT, I think I'm going to go with Asuka.
That's a great pick.
She's pretty much held it down. And I mean, even after, you know, after Bayley, you know, after everybody left, she's still holding it down. So I'm going to go with her.
I have to break the tie because I had a third guy in mind. I actually was going to put Nakamura. But I will break the tie. As much as I love your pick, Brian, I am actually going to put Asuka too. She's deadly. And she's another one, kind of like the Revival, that I don't want to see leave NXT. Because we don't need to see her jobbing to to Nikki Bella. Fuck that shit. Not happening. So I'd rather her just stay there. As long as she needs to. All right. WWE. I was going to break it down between Raw and SmackDown, but I have a feeling. No, I can't do it only because it wasn't a full year of the roster split. Maybe at the end of 2017 we'll do that. All right. WWE, show of the year. Pay-per-view, you know, like specialty show of the year. Brian.
So many of them, I can't even think. I guess Money in the Bank. I'll go with that.
Okay. Johnny?
I'm going to go with Backlash.
Wow.
And a bit of a surprise, but yeah, I'm gonna go with Backlash.
All right. I'm a little perplexed because I'm torn, only because I want to say Extreme Rules, because I thought that show was fantastic. However, didn't Extreme Rules have that putrid
the Asylum?
Yes,
match.
It did. Yes,
that putrid Asylum match, which is kind of very hard to.
That's what holds it back. Yeah, I don't want to go with that because I would have been biased because I was there in Jersey but unfortunately everybody mentions the horrible Asylum match, which kind of held it back. And there was a couple other stinkers too that held it back overall.
Let's look at that card for a minute.
Yeah, there's a terrible women's submission match between Catty Natty and Charlotte, which was horrible.
Yes.
And the Asylum.
Yeah, that was a horrible match, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even though Roman AJ was fucking great.
And the four-way for the Intercontinental title was one of the match of the years.
Yeah. I don't think that's enough. Yeah, you're right, guys. Do I want to say SummerSlam? Oh. I mean, I could say the Rumble just to be a douche, but. God. You guys picked two such good shows. Oh, man. I like No Mercy. That wasn't bad. I might have to put No Mercy. No Mercy had a great three-way, which I thought was a great match. It had that awesome... I mean, that was the best of the Dolph-Miz matches. Let me see what else was on that show. This stupid Cruiserweight thing is getting in the way.
This one, Slater and Rhino won the tag team titles, wasn't it?
Yes, that was... Let's see here. The card was, we don't care about the 8-man tag. AJ Dean Cena, which was not first, which was first on the card. Nikki Carmella, Slater Rhino beat the Usos, Corbin Swagger, Dolph Miz, Naomi Alexa Bliss. Right? I guess that wasn't really a great show. I mean, it was good. I'm going to go with Brian and go with Money in the Bank. I think that was good. Backlash was very good, Johnny. I'm going to vote for Money in the Bank for show of the year.
That's okay.
But
it shows what they need to improve on in 2017 because none of the big four was even close.
No. The Rumble was good, not great. WrestleMania was average. SummerSlam was good, but had... And Survivor Series was... Eh. So the Big Four definitely need... It's kind of sad when the Big Four shows come around, you're more looking forward to the NXT TakeOver the night before. It's kind of sad when most people are doing that. Match of the year. Brian.
I'll go with Styles Cena at SummerSlam.
Johnny?
Good. I'm glad we're not going to pick it because we're being biased because we were there. But to me, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. I agree.
AJ Cena, yeah.
No, AJ Cena was match of the year. And in the and there in the building, John, it was fantastic. Brian, you were lucky. You actually had commentary while you were watching it. But it was amazing. It was an amazing live match. Tag team of the year. Brian.
I guess the New Day by default. I don't know who else to even pick besides them, even though they've had a bit of a down year, I thought.
It was a down year for tag teams.
Some crappy feuds. But I guess the New Day.
I'm very close. I mean, it's hard. I thought AJ and Reigns at Extreme Rules was tremendous. I can't believe I'm saying an AJ that a Roman Reigns match was match of the year, but as we've said here on the show many times, we've never complained about Roman Reigns' work in the ring. He's not a bad wrestler. There's other things people get pissed off about him, but he's not a bad wrestler. But AJ Cena at Barclays, you just can't not pick that. It's fucking amazing. Fucking amazing. And I think you'll see it again in San Antonio. And tag team of the year, like you said, yeah, I guess you got to put New Day. John, you too?
Nah, I can't go with New Day. I think they really fell flat for me this year. I'm going to go with the American Alpha. They came up, and unfortunately, when they first came up, it wasn't they kind of fizzled out, but it took a while. But last night, they came through, and they gave them the belt. So I think that's going to spark them back up. I'm definitely going with American Alpha.
I was surprised that that happened. I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised that that happened. I'm going to go with American Alpha too. I think New Day. I agree with you, Brian. I mean, New Day, because there's just no other teams. They just pretty much held the belt so they can accrue dates and beat Demolition. They could have lost the titles many, many times, and I felt bad that the club lost like five straight matches to them just so they could. Because Vince hates Axe right now, we have to break Demolition's fucking record. I mean, it's ludicrous.
Yeah,
that feud really sucked. That was one of the worst feuds of the year.
I know.
New Day Gals.
And it shouldn't have been. And it shouldn't have been. It didn't have to be.
But it goes back to why, I mean, we spent enough time shitting on Raw at the beginning. But that's one of the main reasons. You get a Newsday segment, which is kind of flat. That takes up like 10 or 15 minutes with the same old jokes. I mean, they're over, so you can't complain. They're over with Dad and their kids, but the same old jokes that run into the ground. And then, of course, Scott, you know, I'm surprised you haven't mentioned them yet, but, you know, a long 10, 15-minute segment with the Enzo and Kaz entrance with the how you doing and all that, which is over. You know, unfortunately, they're over with the kids and everything and a lot of shirts, but it's kind of played out. You know?
Well, that promo Monday night was brutal.
Yeah.
Very
ugh,
bad.
Ugh, glad I don't have to watch it. I took such pleasure in watching Rusev just beat the fucking crap out of him the last few weeks. It's made me smile.
We would think that you snuck onto the on the writing team and and booked that.
I really wish I could give myself credit for that. Maybe there's one thing that Buckface and Horseface Kevin Dunn actually did right was book Enzo to get the shit beat out of him. All right, guys, and this one might be kind of tough. Your WWE Wrestler of the Year. Brian.
For me, it's AJ Styles. He proved himself. Coming to the WWE, the question everybody has is, could this guy cut it on the mic, and could he be a main player? And he's exceeded all expectations. And he's, right now, probably the person on the roster you want to see wrestle the most, I think. So my pick's AJ.
Okay. John?
Yeah, Scott, I disagree. I don't think it's that tough. I think it's AJ in a landslide. AJ all the way.
Yeah, I don't think there's any guy right now who... I can't think of anybody else. I have to go AJ as well. He came in at the Rumble. took this spot seriously. It took him so long to get here. He finally is here, and he's not blowing it. So I give kudos to AJ for coming in here and taking this spot seriously. So Place to Be Nation's main event, 2016 WWE Wrestler of the Year, AJ Styles. Guys, before we go, Johnny, give me three things you look to see in 2017.
Well, like I had already mentioned, I want to see the Big Four get back, the Big Four pay-per-views get back up there. I mean, we should be arguing that between those four, which one is the best. And meanwhile, we're all picking Backlash and No Mercy, et cetera. So they should really try to emphasize on boosting up the Big Four and get them to be more effective, and instead of just more shows and instead of the moments, you know, let's get the matches together. That's number one. And
okay.
And number two, the NXT women has really taken a hit, and hopefully somebody will step up there, and because they had to follow like Bayley and Charlotte, so I know it's a tough legacy to follow. But right now, there's really a dearth of females in the NXT.
Okay, so the Big Four need to step up, and the NXT women's division needs to be rejuvenated.
And number three,
yes.
Kaz and Enzo should get the tag titles immediately.
Oh, shut up. oh, yeah, that'll really help. And if they if they beat the Revival, John, you're never coming on any show ever fucking again.
Yeah, I was just saying that to break your balls because, in all honesty, ever since you put, what do we call it in Italian, you put the Maloik on Enzo. ever since you started shitting on him, his promos have been horrible.
I gave him the mush.
Yeah, and obviously he's exposed in the ring. I mean, like I said, he's just gone downhill.
I mean, the guy knocked himself out running the ring rope, so.
Yeah.
I took such pleasure in that. I gave him the mush. Yeah, my mush, baby.
And they made him look like an idiot the way, you know, he's lusting after Lana. And they even make Kaz look stupid, too. I'm going to defend my boy who tried to bang,
a married woman.
A married guy's wife. You know, he tried to bang my married co-worker's wife, but I'm going to defend him. Get out of here, man.
That storyline's one giant pile of shit.
It really is.
Like I said, I think Chris Scolo, you know, he lives very close to WWE headquarters. I think he snuck in there. I think he snuck on the booking team there.
I gave him the mush.
Without telling us, yeah.
I gave him the mush. All right, so, Brian, your three things to look for in 2017.
Well, three things I want to see, I guess. First is I want to see him move towards the future, actually, which means, you know, stop living in the past, change things up, stop relying on part-timers. They feel more special than everybody else on the roster who's there on a week-to-week basis. That needs to stop, I think. Number two, I want to see them, especially on Raw, just make a coherent product. Make storylines people want to see, take a step back and figure out what creates a babyface people actually want to cheer for and get behind. There's not a single person on Raw right now you'd want to get behind, in my opinion, as a babyface, especially near the top of the card. And number three is, I think number three for me is let the cruiserweights actually go in the ring. Stop restraining them and give them the same crappy storylines the main roster gets. Just let them go a little bit. Make them different from the rest of the roster in the ring. They'll get over that way. And you know, they're not going to get over doing romance storylines with Alicia Fox. Just let them cut loose in the ring and over that way.
Jesus Christ. But poor Cedric Alexander, man.
Oh, I love Cedric.
That's great talent.
That's one way to suck the heat. Yeah, Lisa Fox sucks the heat right out of the building.
Oh, terrible.
Poor
absolutely
bastard.
Terrible. And so my thing about the cruiserweights, here's my three things. Number one, they need to move 205 off of Tuesday nights and put it on Mondays at 8. On USA, USA will still get its ad revenue. WWE will get to cut Raw from 3 hours to 2 and not lose wrestling programming. It's fucking cake. Why, for the love of God, would you put it after SmackDown when the crowd's already gassed And then Talking Smack loses a little luster because SmackDown's been over for an hour. Now you want to talk about it again after watching an hour of something else? No, that was a dumb decision. 205 should be Mondays at 8 to fire up the crowd, kind of like the old school Nitros did, and then start Raw at 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. Enough's enough now with the fucking USA and their stupid ad revenue. Why don't you get a better show? Why don't you get some better fucking shows then? Where's Silk Stockings? Where's La Femme Nikita? Where's Randy Savage reading those awesome ABC or USA premiere movies with, you know, I'm trying to think of the actors that I've been listening to while I'm watching these 94 Raws. The House on the Haunted Lake, Goleon, USA. Those terrible mid-90s movies. So number one, the Cruiserweights need to be given a better chance to not fail. And I think that's one of the things that they're doing. Number two, I am done with Brock Lesnar. Yeah, big shot coming out of me. But let's be honest. Is he really moving the needle? No, not anymore. We're done with Brock Lesnar. He's going through the whole roster. Let him and Goldberg do whatever the fuck they're going to do and then go away. Go away. He's not helping anything. He's not making it any worse. Yeah, but he's not making it any better and you're giving him too much fucking money. Go away. And number three,
we didn't even mention him, and that was the first time somebody mentioned him.
Sure. Yeah, well, because what's to talk about? He's never fucking on. He was on TV, what, another seven times this year?
Exactly.
You know? Trying him out. It's the same stuff, the same promo from Haven each time he's out.
Same promos, same matches. Yeah. All right, in 2013, that was nice. It's getting old. It's getting stale. And number three, I think you talked about the women's division. My new favorite NXT Super Bowl, next counting Bobby Roode, who's fucking great. Bobby Roode will be Universal Champion at some point in 2017. That's a prediction I have. The star of NXT, the one that's going to break out in 2017, Ember Moon. She will beat Asuka. And I think those promos and those storylines will be tremendous because they're both creepy. In that mysterious way, you know, Asuka with the weird face and the fucking mask and Ember Moon with those eyes and everything. That's going to be a match I will pay to see when that finally goes down. Asuka and Ember Moon, I think they're going to have a tremendous feud. Guys, we're putting a bow on 2016. Thank fucking God. I don't want to have anybody else die in the next 4 days. Done. Done. No more. Mr. Bayless, thanks for coming on. Great job.
Thank you for having me.
Another great year. Check out Brian's stuff, PlaceToBeNation.com. He joins us on the Network Adventure write-ups, and, of course, he is your weekly Raw dissection. Mr. D'Amato, I'm going to see your ugly ass on Saturday at the Doctor's Lair for a little New Year's Eve fun and games, and then I will talk to you and Mr. Greenhouse on Sunday for our special podcast, which you will check out Monday morning on the PTBN Pop feed. For J. Arsenio D'Amato, for Brian Bayless, I am Scott Criscolo. We are closing the book on 2016 here on Main Event. Thank you, as always, for listening. It is greatly appreciated. I do it for you. See you in 2017. Shut up, Reed.
your vows. Give up your vows.